WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, part of the delegation, talking about ending the war in Ukraine.
The goal is to bring an end to this conflict in a way that's fair, enduring, sustainable, and acceptable to all parties involved. What that looks like? Well, that's what the ongoing engagement is going to be all about.
Also at talks in Saudi Arabia, officials from Russia, Ukrainian officials, were not at the table. Hamas announcing it's releasing six Israeli hostages this weekend and will hand over the bodies of four Israelis killed on October 7th this coming Thursday. Investigation underway into the plane that overturned on the runway as it was landing at Toronto's Pearson International Airport. No one died. John Nelson says flight attendants saved their lives.
Listen to the flight attendants. They must be, they're trained for this, right? And they were the ones saying, like, leave your stuff, get out of the plane. And we all did.
18 people were hospitalized, some still in serious condition. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The Wisconsin State Senate is once again considering postpartum care. The bill would give low-income mothers a full year of postpartum Medicaid coverage, as opposed to the 60 days currently allowed. State Senator Sarah Kieski of the 14th State Senate District is a co-author of the bill. She explained to Phil Nee on WRCO's morning show why it is important to everyone.
What we know is postpartum care, the needs aren't only in the first 60 days for the mom. And we need healthy moms so that we have healthy kids. So if they have a medical issue, if they have a mental health issue, those need to be treated well so that we have them functioning well, both for themselves, for their newborn and any other children, or maybe their workplace. There are many things that happen postpartum that have an impact, and some of them are just not going to show up in the first 60 days. So having access to this is really, really important.
She adds it is supported by both parties, but one person seems to be holding it up.
Last session, this bill was presented in the Senate and it was passed 32-1. So bipartisan support. We are hoping that it comes to the floor again in the Senate and in the Assembly. One of the big issues is there is the leader of the Assembly. His name is Robin Voss, the representative, that has said it is unlikely that this bill will be seen on that floor.
Kieski has a fundamental issue with Voss's stance.
I believe if we are the voice of our constituents, there are 132 of us total, 99 Assembly members, 33 Senate members. We should all get to vote on something that is this important. But we have one person right now that is standing in the way for even it being presented to a floor.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Badgers host Illinois. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, it's Wisconsin against Illinois tonight at the Kohl Center in Madison. The Badgers now ranked 11th in the nation after beating Purdue. Greg Gard says his team is better now at managing the shot clock.
That's important. I think it just shows the growth of this team. They couldn't make that play in October or November. They weren't accustomed, I think, to playing together as comfortable as they are right now.
We've learned that Marcus Sedbury is the new general manager of the Badgers football program. Sedbury has served as assistant athletic director at Wisconsin the past 3 years. He'll handle the players' and coaches' contracts. Baseball. Brewers left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortez is at spring training in Arizona, trying to learn everyone's name in the clubhouse after 5 years with the Yankees.
Yeah, the names are going to be tough. Obviously, being, you know, so many years in another organization, gold glove caliber defense, and as a pitcher, that's what you want. So I'm very excited for that.
That's Brewers pitcher Nestor Cortez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and frigid yet again, a high near 3 above, wind chill values as cold as 30 to 35 below. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 11 below. Wind chill values all the way down to negative 25. Stay warm, stay safe. Right now, 13 below.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, your innocence is proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers will be here for a little Tuesday Tangents with Luke, and we'll preview Governor Evers' budget address. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Ticket to anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere, any place is better. Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
Sandy's very thoughtful music this morning. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Certainly fitting my mood. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And you, Sandy, the music.
Well, it's about the impact of the frustrations you can have locally when you watch government happening around you and you wonder what you can do about it and whether you can do anything about it. And I think the lesson that I'm learning from the experience I'm having is that we all have to try and do something about it. We can't let this happen. You know, there were other countries and other times, and I know people say it's hysterical to point back at Germany, but, you know, the drift into authoritarianism happens, and it's a bit like the frog in the pot with the heat in the water. You know, the water starts out cold, it gets warm, it's still tolerable, and before you know it, it's boiling and you're done. And so we can't let the people around us put on brown shirts without doing something about it.
You know, Sandy, let's do this. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what? Mike.
I'm with you big time as far as being frustrated. But I'll tell you that the more I look into this stuff, and the more I do my civic duty of, you know, trying to figure out what they're talking about when we hear Trump talk about massive fraud and abuse, there isn't anything there. The press secretary, White House press secretary, Carolyn Leavitt, when asked to provide examples, all she did basically was roll out DEI programs that they disagreed with. Well, that's a policy challenge. It's not illegal. It's not a crime. Might be an example of waste, but that's something, you know, for Congress to settle out. Let Congress do their job. I'm with you. I'm with you guys. It's very tough watching this imperialism develop. It's the loudest voice in the room that seems to be dominating common sense.
Mike?
The big message for me today is this is all unnecessary. The economy is strong. The pie pieces are just distributed wrong. That's it. You take care of redistribution in making the elites in the top 1% pay their fair share, and this thing completely changes. But again, while they continue their lies and their claims of massive fraud, somehow the American people are falling for the big lie and that their tactics all over again. It's really frustrating as a student of history, and I know you're feeling this way, Sandy, as well, when we are going down a similar paths that were disastrous. It's never been a good thing for we the people when America took austerity measures. It's not a good thing. It's always constricting.
Well, you know, Mike, when you talk about austerity measures, it would be different if they weren't doing this because they're going to get these tremendous tax cuts. You know, that's the reason behind all of it, is enriching themselves at the expense of the American people, Sandy.
Well, and the thing that's clear to me is that all of this talk that's gone on for the last 5 years, in which there's been a fog put up around the truth and about facts, and allowing people to use words willy-nilly to mean whatever they choose, is now coming back to haunt us, because we have Elon Musk, we have the president, we have everyone else talking about corruption and fraud, when what they're really talking about is programmatic differences they have with what's going on. You know, having DEI programs is not fraudulent, and it's not corrupt. And yet that's the kind of thing that is being aimed at with the slashing that's going on in government. We have Elon Musk telling the president, and the president repeating to the people, the fact that there are tens and hundreds of billions of dollars of corruption and fraud, and yet they've not come forward with a single example of something that amounts to corruption or fraud. And that's because we've allowed the world to adopt language and to adopt meanings for words that are totally fictional. And we've allowed fiction to replace fact in the world of politics. And now it's coming back to haunt us.
You know, Sandy, I was reading this morning, and thank you very much for the call, Mike. I can tell in your voice you're feeling the same way that I am. Sandy, they were talking about all of these people on Social Security who are over 120 years old. And so we found, thousands and thousands of people 120 years old still getting Social Security check. Well, I mean, they're saying that, Sandy, like you said, they haven't been able to prove any of that, and they throw that out there, and it supports the things that they're doing. Because there are people who in this country, and not all, because half of the people in this country don't agree with any of that madness, yet we're trapped in that, Sandy. We're trapped in what the other half of the American people support.
Well, and people should project, the people who are supporting what's going on should project this forward in time to the time when a Democrat is in office,
yeah,
and is doing and carrying out the same sort of purge of government employees and the same sort of shift in policies unilaterally based on a so-called mandate, when the United States hasn't had a presidential mandate of any substantial form for decades and decades.
Let's go to Tony from Madison. Good morning to you, Tony. You say what?
Well, good morning, Earl.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the call.
So where are all the Democrats in this? For every executive order that that President Trump issued, shouldn't there have been a lawsuit issued by the group of Democrats congealed together for all of this?
Well, Sandy's the barrister. He'll respond to your question.
Well, there have been a whole spate of lawsuits filed with respect to executive orders. And the fact is that maybe the Democratic Party as an organization was not ready for what's going on because, we have, 500-plus executive orders, some of which relate to plastic straws rather than paper straws, and some of which have a huge amount of substantive impact. And I think that the triage on that is that the ones with substantive impact have been brought to the attention of the judicial organization, courts around the country. But here's the problem. Courts take time, even when they act quickly, and courts have limited capacity to enforce their orders. And so we have an executive who has basically decided to thumb his nose at the courts and has thumbed his nose at the courts for an entire lifetime.
Tony?
Okay.
All right, Tony, thank you very much.
Go ahead.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. You say what?
Good morning. Getting back to the city of Milwaukee and public schools and the police department, I have some expertise, obviously, in that field. And I was working when we had police officers in the schools. This created a problem for the city of Milwaukee. And the reason why, if you pull officers off the street and put them in the schools, you have less officers on the street. Less officers on the street means crime on the street escalates. So by doing what the courts are doing, they are putting the police department in a stranglehold because they don't have enough officers to replenish the schools and the streets at the same time. And I guess nobody thought about this because it takes a long time to train an officer to go onto the streets, and it's very costly. And I don't think that what they're doing is appropriate. They have school security officers, and if they need officers, then the police department can send the officers to the school. But by taking police officers off the streets, just makes it much more difficult for the officers to respond to the calls. And I guess nobody really thought about that. And until the police department gets a sizable increase to hire more police officers, this will continue on. And where does the police department in the city get their money, their increases? They're going to have to increase the property taxes and the taxes on goods in the city of Milwaukee. There you go.
Hey Susan, thank you very much for the call. I concur with what you are saying. They can't find enough police officers right now. The city has gone across the state and other places recruiting new police officers. They can't find them. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. Sandy, Congress is closing in on the shutdown deadline with no clear plan. This may be a time, you've always said, Sandy, they're not going to shut down. But based on what's happening today, we may see the shutdown. I'd like to hear your thoughts. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. Had a feeling I could be someone.
You got a fast car. We go cruise and entertain ourselves. Still ain't.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
The 2025 Wisconsin football schedule is here, and you should be too. Season tickets are on sale now, so don't miss your chance to jump around at Camp Randall Stadium this fall. Last year, 6 of 7 home games were sellouts, proof that there's nothing like game day with the Badgers. Secure your spot for marquee matchups against Ohio State, Washington, and Iowa, and enjoy the best value to see Wisconsin football in action. For more information and to get your season tickets, visit ewbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Every story matters,
And the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson. The Milwaukee historian and teacher travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, and so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kaylin Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's tugging on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. You know, it's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, you say what? Can't hear you.
All politics is local.
All right.
And so the music basically reflects the fact that whatever happens ends up happening locally, and that's how we experience it. And my concern is that what's happening nationally is coming home to roost locally, and it's going to come home quickly and with lots of damage.
You know, last night when I was at the Democratic gathering and spoke after one of the state Supreme Court justices, County Executive David Crowley spoke. And Sandy, he spoke about the impact of what's getting ready to happen here in Milwaukee County with the unstable issues that they are seeing and concerned about coming down the pike. He said that's their fear is, you know, you can't run the county government if you're not getting, you know, support from the federal government, Sandy. And as you said, that impacts all sorts of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Medicaid dollars are right at the heart of many people's personal issues and at the heart of local funding issues, both funding from the county standpoint and as well reimbursement from the hospitals and medical system.
All right, let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
Hey, guys. Long time, no talk. First call since President Trump won the election. First of all, I just want to begin by saying happy belated President's Day to the greatest president of my lifetime, President Donald J. Trump. I don't know
well,
when you
well, guys are going well, to it's pretty, well, it's, well, it, well, Chad, it's pretty clear if he's the greatest president of your lifetime, you haven't lived a very long life.
I'm 50 years old, sir, and I'd love to go over all those accomplishments. But first of all, let me answer Tom's question about joining him. Tom, absolutely not. We will not join you. When are you guys ever going to learn your lesson? Tom compared right on your program.
Hey, Chad. Chad, this is not a conversation between you and Tom. What do you have to say in regards to what we're talking about?
I'll say right now, you guys do not learn your lesson. You're comparing Hitler. You let President Trump being compared to Hitler again. Tom Hanks goes on and says about racist Trump supporters that you guys don't learn. President Trump has over a 50% approval rate. He's doing what people want. His appearances at Daytona 500, his appearances at the Super Bowl, he's getting just ovations that we haven't seen.
Hey, Chad. You're talking about him respond to this first. You're talking about him being at a Super Bowl or at a racetrack and the ovations that he's getting. What percentage of people do you think that includes at a racetrack or at a Super Bowl? 100,000? 50,000?
Well, I'll tell you.
Come on, man.
Well, hey, his last approval rating's over 50% or all.
You've called in sort of randomly without much that you want to affirmatively say. Let me ask you some questions, though. Do you agree with what's going on in the city of New York with respect to the mayor of New York? Do you think that you see political danger? Do you see the problem of potential corruption of public officials with respect to what's going on with the U.S. Attorney's Office in the city of New York? Does that trouble you?
Well, I'll tell you what, I disagree with everything in New York because they prosecuted President Trump using.
Well, okay, so do you think that the mayor of a city ought to be the prosecution of the mayor of a city ought to be called off so that he can better coordinate with the policies of the president and be under the president's thumb? Do you think that's a safe place for American politics?
If they're not going to follow the rules that have been established for harboring illegal aliens, well, right now you cannot harbor. This has been a long time. You cannot harbor illegal aliens. And Governor Hockley and that with James, they're trying to do that. So now, where do the rules apply? Now, again, let me ask you.
Hey, Chad.
Professionally.
Hey, Chad. This is not about you asking us questions. I will say this to you. So you're talking about the rules that they're not following. There's a mayor who clearly has been indicted or was about to be indicted for laws that he broke. And Donald Trump comes in and his minions and they wipe all that away. You think that's a good thing?
I'll tell you what. First of all, you guys loved this mayor until he sided with President Trump.
Here's the
issue, Chad. I have. I'm not talking about policy, and I'm not particularly strident about any particular policies. I am strident about procedure. Do you think that this president is entitled to ignore laws and to implement whatever it is he wants to implement in the way of policies, regardless of the law?
Well, just like the governor of New York and James disregarding law of illegal aliens. You guys think that's okay? Now, President Trump...
The question is whether we ought to allow a president to run roughshod over the laws, whether we ought to really agree with the president that he who thinks he's saving the country is above the law. And to me, that's the most dangerous prospect here. Process. Not policy. Policy comes and goes. Policy changes with the winds. Policy changes with the times. Policy changes with politics. But procedures have to endure.
You know, Sandy, you didn't register. Nothing you said registered with Chad because there are guys like that, and unfortunately far too many, who aren't going to be able to see until these policies impact and affect them directly. 855-752-4842. Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you more on the Earl Ingram Show. That you don't know what you've got till it's gone. You pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Hey, farmer, put away the DDT. This is News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. It's National FFA Week, a time to recognize the important role of the National FFA organization in developing the next generation of leaders who will change the world and celebrating the 90th anniversary of New Farmers of America and the 75th anniversary of the Federal Charter to Future Farmers of America. Each year, FFA chapters around the country celebrate National FFA Week. There are 261 state chapters in Wisconsin broken into 10 sections. Tyson Gerke, a graduate of Fenimore High School, serves as the treasurer for the Wisconsin State FFA chapter. He represents Section 4, which covers southwest Wisconsin with 27 FFA chapters. What would he tell someone contemplating joining their local FFA chapter?
I would tell them it never hurts to try something new. And second off, there's a spot in an FFA for everyone. Even if they are not considering a career in agriculture, joining FFA can give them various leadership skills, such as attending leadership conferences that they can enhance their speaking ability. And frankly, I credit a lot of my ability to public speak to being involved in FFA and joining these speaking contests. And so even if you aren't looking for a career in agriculture, joining FFA, there's an avenue for you to grow as a person, and there's an avenue for you to grow individually and make the most of your high school years.
Jumping into the state level was not a first choice for Gerke.
My senior year of high school, I served as my chapter's middle school advisor. While serving as a middle school advisor, I had the opportunity to meet frequently with our middle school members. I had the opportunity to coach our middle school members and mentor our middle school members. And that really gave me a perspective on how I can make a difference in the lives of others.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Sometimes Marvel movies are review-proof, such is the case with Captain America: Brave New World, which was number one at the box office this past weekend. Despite mediocre reviews, the franchise flick pulled in $192 million at the worldwide box office to lead the way. Theater owners in the U.S. were particularly happy, as the fourth Captain America film brought in about $100 million domestically. Not bad for February. The other big film opening this weekend was Paddington in Peru. The third installment in the popular Paddington franchise finished in second place, bringing in $13 million at the box office. Paddington will probably find a bigger audience when it goes to streaming and VOD. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes took in about $10 million in its second weekend to finish in third place, and it was Mufasa the Lion King holding steady in fifth place during its ninth week of release with $4.2 million. Starting to think I'm the only person that hasn't seen this movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunny and frigid yet again, a high near 3 above, wind chill values as cold as 30 to 35 below. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 11 below. Wind chill values all the way down to negative 25. Stay warm, stay safe. Currently, it's 10 below.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Dom Salvia.
Next time on Overtime with Maggie Dunn, do we really need to know what's going on with avian flu? Also, should pardons of the January 6th rioters apply to murder plots and child porn charges? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
The wheels are muddy. Whoa. Oh, mercy, mercy.
ain't what they used to be now. Where did all the blue skies go? Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be now.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday's my co-host, Sandy Williams. Sandy, the music.
Yeah, it's about local, basically, frustration, local politics, and the extent to which we can all be frustrated about the extent to which what's going on nationally is going to affect us locally, and what can we do about it?
You know, Sandy, what's so frightening is people like Chad, who calls and goes back to that you guys, and not understanding that Donald Trump has destabilized the world already, Sandy. The world is destabilized. And a guy like Chad and others like him are still playing this game about you guys had your chance. Man, he doesn't even see... Sandy, he can't even visualize the inherent danger that we're facing right now.
You know, I have a sense that people like people in MAGA who are so committed and conditioned to believe everything that Donald Trump does is the right thing have projected his narcissism onto themselves and have decided that he's their guy. And whatever he does, regardless of what it is and whether he's ever talked about it before, whether they voted for it, whether anyone understood that that's what was the implication of electing Donald Trump, that regardless of that, their guy has been elected. And Katie bar the door, he's free to do as he chooses because they've imprinted on him. And I don't understand it, quite frankly, because what he's doing around the world is breathtaking. And what he's doing in this country is breathtaking in terms of unilaterally carrying out activities which seem to be, number one, without much counsel, without much advice from experts. It's sort of amateurs playing a game in public with us.
So, Sandy, how many presidents has there been, it's a rhetorical question, that built kind of goodwill with the European nations and goodwill around the world for one man to come and destroy that? You know, he's doing it. I don't know if he's aware, Sandy, that he's doing it. Your take on that?
Well, I think it's people who don't remember the fact that the great wars of the 20th century were all fought between Europeans in Europe. And one of the reasons that we've had this alliance with Europe along after World War II was that we needed peace in the world and we need Europe to be a peaceful place. I mean, there has been a European war. There have been two European wars since 1990. We had the Bosnian, Herzegovina, Serbia, Kosovo, Croatia eruption, and now we have the Ukrainian war. So, I mean, you know, the wars that we have not participated in, but which have been substantial chaotic wars, occurred in Europe. And we're apparently treating Europe now with the back of our hand.
Yeah, it is just, you and I talked a little earlier before we go back to the phone lines about what they're really doing. That China is in the background. And so we're lobbying, we're destroying any goodwill that was created between this nation and all these other nations. And we're forcing them where, Sandy?
Well, China is the biggest trading partner for a number of countries, not the United States, but China and a number of European countries. And China runs around the world and does not exact from people any promises with respect to ideological commitments. So unlike J.D. Vance, who goes to Europe and scolds the Europeans for what they're doing internally in their country and their politics, China's a very passive participant in trade. And we're driving people in the direction of China. We're driving Mexico in the direction of China. We're driving Canada in the direction of China. And now we're taking Europe and basically treating it with the back of our hand. Europe, the second biggest trading partner with the European Union is China. And what we're basically doing is promoting the notion that maybe China ought to be their biggest trading partner.
You know, Sandy, long term, really, the damage that they're doing in this short window is long term, right? I mean, those nations aren't going to return back if they're going to find something more comforting in China. I mean, why would they return?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the thing is that these things have momentum. And we are killing the momentum associated with the relationship between the United States and Europe, and we're putting them in the direction of having a circumstance which is better for them and makes them less vulnerable. Having a European standing army might be good for Europe, but we didn't think it was a good idea in 1952, and I don't think it'll be a good idea in 2026.
Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I just think that all of this is being done with short-sightedness, both historical short-sightedness as well as prospective short-sightedness in terms of what the implications are. And I just think that we would be better off operating with much more deliberation and much more counsel and much less knee-jerk and much less ideology.
You know, Sandy, Mark said, Vance essentially said that we are not the sugar daddy anymore. I mean, what is that?
Well, that isn't what I was talking about with respect to Vance's speeches in Europe. What Vance went to Europe about was to talk to them about how they ought to allow the right wing in Europe to have a far greater voice, that they in Europe were afraid of the right wing and they ought to be embracing the right wing. He was scolding them about their local politics. As for whether or not Europe ought to have a sugar daddy or not, or how much military expenditure we ought to make and they ought to make, Mark ought to understand that historically speaking, we organized NATO and we made NATO our client. And NATO became one of the biggest clients of our military-industrial complex in terms of its armaments. And we decided that we wanted to dominate NATO so that we would not be participating in European wars in the future. Now, maybe Europe has evolved to the point where, yes, they should be cut loose from our military umbrella to the extent that we currently have it. But that's a policy to be discussed and worked upon and deliberated about. That isn't the problem I have with J.D. Vance and what he did in Europe.
Let's go to Ann. Good morning to you, Ann. Thank you very much. You say what?
Yeah, I just have to say that these MAGAs that call in are just a reflection of Donald Trump until it affects them personally. And as far as Tom goes, he knows more about how government works than this 50-year-old person that called in. And I just have to say, when we go to war, I want to hear from Chad. I want to hear what Chad says, because when his parents lose Medicaid or Medicare, what's Chad going to say then? Because it seems like all they care about is Trump going to the Super Bowl and going to NASCAR. I just think, where are people? Where are Americans? Do they not see what's going on in our country? And you know what? It's not 50%. He can say 50% all he wants, but this girl is not a 50%er. So thank you.
Hey, Ann, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, this divide, if ever there was a time, and you know, we've said on this show, and you've said it many times, trying to bring people back together. But it's almost impossible to bring people back together when the policies, well, not even policies, but the things that are being done are not with trying to bring the nation back together, Sandy. There's nothing that Donald Trump and MAGA Republicans are saying and doing to try to bring the nation back together. They're continuing to divide.
Well, in fact, if you read the introduction to Project 2025, which is now a very telling introduction because it is describing exactly what's going on. They describe there the fact that they believe that the conservatives have a two-year window to carry out what they describe as a war to change America. It's a revolution and a war against America as it is to change it into the America that they hope it to be, which is an imperial president. And a presidency and a White House that micromanages all of the operations of the U.S. federal government in a manner that reflects an authoritarian. And so what is intended by Project 2025 is not a bringing together of the people. It is not building a consensus. It is taking a two-year window of time and jamming down the throats of America all the changes that they wish to implement, the laws be damned. And so I think the people, Chad and everyone else, ought to read that introduction to Project 2025 and then as much of Project 2025 as they can stomach, and to understand what it is that's going on and to try and figure out whether they're comfortable with that sort of a concept for government.
Let's go to Gene. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning. Good job, Anne from Chippewa. I'd like to say something because, you know, this reminds me so much of a hostile takeover. I'm sure everybody's familiar with hostile takeovers. We almost had one in Eau Claire area. And they come in. They say there's problems with the business. They start firing all kinds of people. And they fire not the people that should be fired. They fire people who know what's going on, how to run the company, how to get them out of debt, those types of things. And then they raid their pensions. And there's nothing left to save. Now, all these different people they're put in these positions have zero experience finding all kinds of problems, especially the wealthy ones there, saying all these people are getting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, that shouldn't get it. No, there's all this money there. And, yeah, and who's watching these people? And where are the people who really know what's going on? They've been fired. So wake up, folks, because this is serious business. And, you know, this divide and conquer business is chaos. Own the libs. Ooh, they're woke. Well, they better get their heads out of their butts and get woke because this is serious stuff. And we can do something about it. And you keep going, L.A. Tom. I hear you. We're still here. We're not stopping. Thank you very much.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you know, the depth of what is transpiring in this country requires a serious reckoning. You know, Congress closing in on shutdown deadline with no clear plan. I don't know. As long as you and I have been together, you've always said, don't worry about the shutdown. It's not going to happen. In this instance, Sandy, I don't know.
Well, this one isn't going to happen either because as far as Trump is concerned, he's got Doge and they have the government in the palm of their hand, they think, and they aren't going to suffer the PR problem of a shutdown because they don't need it. But
they don't need the Democrats. They don't need the Democrats.
Well, if the Democrats are willing to shut it down, we'll see. But I think the analogy of a hostile takeover is a good one. But I've been involved with mergers in the corporate world. And when there's a merger, people who want the business to succeed at the end of the merger put together a committee to try and figure out what it is they're going to do about redundancies that might exist in the businesses and who it is that might get opportunities to retire early or otherwise be laid off. And it's done in a very careful manner designed to make sure that the business at the end of the merger is better than it was before. That's not the way this is being carried out at all. This is completely a meat axe applied to the federal government.
855-752-4842 is Tuesday. It means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, it helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So, I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I'm just trying to find a ray of sun in all of this, Sandy. And that's what's so frightening to me is, you know, it's getting darker all the time.
Well, what I'm appalled by is the openness and notoriousness of the conduct, for instance, with respect to Mayor Adams in New York, and the process of compromising publicly, politically, taking control of and corrupting the mayor of New York in an open and notorious manner, or the granting of pardons to people who simply because they convert to being political loyalists, the process of declaring things to be waste and corruption without proof, and then to act on that, the anecdotal misstatements by Elon Musk. Elon Musk adopting the premise that the 60 Minutes show was a criminal show and criminal because of the way they supposedly edited Kamala Harris's conversation on that show, when now the transcript has been released and it's proven that there was nothing nefarious carried out. You know, people are continuing to carry the big lies forward and to use it as a basis for basically jamming our government in a manner that makes it unrecognizable.
Or Sandy, or Trump barring the Associated Press from Air Force One. People don't understand the implications of that, Sandy.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable, because what's happened is the conduct that used to be scandalous and would probably be actionable if carried out privately is now being carried out publicly, and there's no problem. You know, Elon Musk, a person who relies for federal contracts for a great deal of his wealth, is now in charge of the federal government and is taking control of all of the agencies, and his legion is running through the agencies roughshod, firing people, changing the operations of the it was announced yesterday that he was going to take control of the FAA's airport control processes and fix them. Well, you, normally that's the subject of a great deal of analysis and study, and then contracts are opened up to be bid upon. And here we have somebody just unilaterally deciding, hey, I'm going to take control of the FAA processes and fix them.
Let's go to Bill from McConnell. Good morning to you, Bill. Thank you. You say what?
Thanks, Earl and Sandy. Say, I got a proposal or a question. I want to hear your feedback on it. We are at a constitutional crisis. I think it behooves the judicial side and the legislative side, Democrats, to work together and ask Neil Gorsuch and team, do you want this to be your legacy in the future history books that it was written? This is how you turned over the government of the United States. Correct me if I'm wrong. It is against the Constitution to have a foreign national run our budget control and money control. I think it's totally illegal in black and white. I'm going to hang up. I want your retrospect on the judicial and legislative system working together but holding the Supreme Court accountable. What do you think? I'll hang up. Thanks. And
Thank you, Bill. Sandy?
Well,
wishful
Elon
thinking.
Musk is a foreigner, but he is also a U.S. citizen. He's got three citizenships. He's apparently quite fickle about which country and which passport he can carry. But, you know, the problem is we have a division of government. The governments are the elements of our government are supposed to look over one another's shoulders and hold each other accountable. Having two of them line up together is sort of contrary to that process. But what we definitely have to do is give the Supreme Court the courage to do what they ought to do. And my fear is that we have a Supreme Court that might be compromised in that regard.
You know, Sandy, all of this is more than what you can take, because again, there is no Superman coming. And those of us who've been around a while, we've never seen our government in a place like this, not in our lives, Sandy, maybe before, but have you ever seen our government in a situation such as this?
Well, I've never seen us develop a fictional world like the fictional world we've developed with half or almost half of the people in this country may be persuaded that they're living in a country which is broken, that they're living in a country which is in peril. They're living in a country which needs to be saved by somebody who will come in and act unilaterally in the manner that Donald Trump is acting. Donald Trump puts out a tweet saying a man who saves his country is above the law. Well, save us from what? I mean, the country has had a strong economy. You know, the country, we definitely need to get our moorings with respect to how we run our country. And we need to do that in the manner that is consistent with our Constitution. But our country is not broken, and we don't need to break the country in order to fix it. And what we have ongoing right now is a political regime who has declared our country to be broken and is now treating it in that manner and is in the process breaking the country.
Hey, Sandy, great stuff, man. Really enjoyed it. Thank everybody who made the show go. Sandy, I'll see you on Friday. Thank everybody who made the show go. Cardi, you as well. Up next, Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Matinee on air. See you guys on tomorrow.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinee and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many Democrats wondering, what are our elected officials doing to push back? Representative Mark Pocan joins us. We'll ask. Don't miss it.
Matinee on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like.
Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Secretary of State Marco Rubio insisting that Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky was not shut out of talks about ending the war in his country.
No one is being sidelined here, but President Trump is in a position that he campaigned on to initiate a process that could bring about an end to this conflict.
Rubio making the comments after talks between U.S. officials and their Russian counterparts. European nations and officials from Kyiv not included in the opening negotiations of those peace talks. Hamas says it will release 6 living Israeli hostages this weekend and turn over the bodies of 4 Israeli hostages who have died as a part of the next step in Gaza ceasefire negotiations. A Delta jet flipping onto its roof while landing in Toronto on Monday. John Nelson was one of the 80 people on board.
Everybody was quiet for like a moment or two, and then everybody was trying to like scramble to make a sense of what just had happened. And so we released the seatbelts that kind of fell to the floor, which is now the ceiling.
This is ABC News.